بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين. أسأل الله تعالى أن يوفقنا لما يحب ويرضى، وأن ينفعنا بما علمنا، وعلمنا ما ينفعنا، وزدنا علما كثيرا، وصلى الله على محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، فالسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Very nice to see you, brothers. May Allah accept from you, inshallah. May Allah give you beneficial knowledge and make this dars very pleasurable and enjoyable for you, inshallah ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, we're continuing in the chapter which is on the ghusl. Bab al-ghusl wa hukmu wa hukmin junub. Bab al-ghusl wa hukmin junub. The chapter on the shower, the ghusl, and the ruling on the one who is sexually impure. And the scholars, when they began this chapter, they mentioned that what we see on this chapter about the ghusl is how Islam emphasized so much the importance of cleaning and a clean appearance. That it requires that a person, they maintain the cleanliness of their body. If a person that has relations with their husband or wife, whether they have the sexual fluid or not, the climax, they still have to do ghusl. If a person accepts Islam, they have to do the ghusl. If a person, they have a dream, a wet dream, they have to do the ghusl. If a person on the day of Jum'ah, like today, the scholars say either it is obligatory or a very strong sunnah to do the ghusl on the day of Jum'ah. So we see that these rulings on the ghusl are for men and women, both. So Islam, it emphasizes purification and cleanliness of the body for both men and women. In the hadith we began last time, that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Al-ma'u min al-ma'." Water is due to the water. And Brother Asan, he mentioned last time, he explained, or he got the right interpretation. Al-ma', the pure water of the shower of the ghusl, is due to the water of when a person, they have the mani. The mani is the sexual fluid. And so if a person, they see the sexual fluid, then they have to do the water of ghusl. This is what the Prophet ﷺ commanded for the Sahaba. Now we had another narration that was mentioned last time, that the water is only due to the water. And this is an important subject, because a lot of young people, they grow up not knowing these rulings. And many people, they pray and they might not even have tahara, and they end up praying because they didn't know the ruling on the junub. So this is a very important subject for young people and even older people to learn, to make sure they have the proper tahara. So the other narration is the water of ghusl is only due, innama al-ma'u min al-ma', is only due when the sexual fluid is seen. And when we spoke last time, if someone were to interpret this hadith, they would think that a person, they had relations, but the water was not released, the sexual fluid, there's no ghusl due. Because it says the water of ghusl is only due when the water of the sexual relations is seen. And actually, the way it turns out, what the ulama say is that in the beginning of Islam, this was a dispensation or a leeway. That if a man had a relation with his wife but didn't see the fluid, the sexual fluid, then he did not have to make ghusl. We talked about that last time, about one Sahabi who came rushing when the Prophet ﷺ called for him, and he said, "I had to make ghusl before I came to you," and the Prophet ﷺ said, "You didn't have to do that." So that was a dispensation or a leeway in the beginning of Islam. But then later on, then it became more strict. And we have another hadith that says if a person, he sits in front of his wife for the relations, and he has relations, then the ghusl must be done. And in one narration it says, even if he doesn't see the fluid, the water. So later on in Islam it became more strict. That anybody who has relations, and in one hadith it says when the two parts meet, circumcised parts, then the ghusl becomes obligatory on them. Both the husband and the wife, they have to do the ghusl as soon as they have the relations. So here, what is the meaning of the hadith then, innama al-ma'u min al-ma'? The water of ghusl is only due if one sees the water. Does that mean that this hadith is abrogated? That we don't use the hadith anymore? Or does it still apply in certain circumstances? Still applies, right? In certain circumstances. What circumstances would we say that the water of the ghusl is only due if one sees the water? If a person they had, a dream, for example. Right, no liquid came out. Say the person had a dream. And they saw a dream, which is normally seen, what they call a sexual dream or wet dream, but they didn't find any water. So do they still have to do ghusl? Do they have to do ghusl or no? They don't have to do ghusl. Because the Prophet ﷺ said the water of ghusl is only due if they see the water. If you don't find any traces of it, if a person doesn't remember anything coming out and they don't find any traces of it, then they don't have to do the ghusl. This is for a man. And the proof of that is the hadith of Salama radiallahu anha, that Sulaim came to the Prophet ﷺ and she said, Allah is not shy from the truth. Does a woman have to make ghusl if she saw a dream, sexual dream? So the Prophet ﷺ said, yes, if she sees the water. So only if she sees the water. And so the hadith of the water of ghusl is due when the water of the sexual fluid comes out is still correct and applied when referring to the dreams that a person has. And the woman also has that type of dream. And Salama, who narrates the hadith, she became so embarrassed when Sulaim asked this question. She said, you're embarrassing women. Why are you exposing, you know, that women have these dreams too? But actually, the Prophet Sallallahu, he said, yes, the women have to do the ghusl as well if they have that type of dream where they see the water. Now, one thing here that the ulama point out is for a woman, when she has that type of dream, she might not see the water because there's a plate, the water might remain inside of the body. And maybe the brother he's referring to this. When a woman, she might have that particular water be released, and she feels it being released, but it doesn't come out of the body. So when the Prophet ﷺ said, if she sees the water, the scholars say it doesn't mean it has to be physically seeing it with the eye. But it means the seeing it, having the knowledge that that water was released. So if the knowledge is there that happened, that the water was being released, even if she doesn't find the water, it might still be inside the body. She has to do the ghusl. Now for the man, does this ruling apply? If he has the feeling but he doesn't see the water, the scholars say no, because there's no way in the water of the man it comes out right away. There's no place where it remains inside. Whereas for the woman, there's a place where it might remain inside. So a woman, she might have that experience and she might not think that any water came out. She has to do ghusl. She has to do the ghusl. This is very important for the sisters to know, or the women to know. As for the man, it's very unlikely because the water comes out right away. There's nowhere for it to stay inside the body. So the man, if he sees the water, he has to do the ghusl. If the woman, even if she feels it moving inside the body, she has to do the ghusl. So the hadith, water is only due to seeing the water, is still applicable to when a person, they have the dreams. If a man, he saw a dream, but then he didn't find any traces of any water, then he does not have to do the ghusl. Now we have another interesting issue, which is what if a person has the dream, he doesn't see any fluid, and then he goes and prays, and then he sees the fluid afterwards. He finds some traces afterwards. So what does this mean? Is his prayer valid? He was junub when he prayed, right? Is it allowed to pray when a person is junub? No, he's not allowed to. So, and because the janaba took place before he prayed, that means his prayer is not valid. He has to repeat the prayer. If he found some traces afterwards, he has to repeat the prayer. And in fact, Umar radiallahu anhu, he once led the Fajr prayer, and then he went out to the garden and after the sunrise, and then he noticed some dried sperm on his clothes. So he said, I must have prayed Fajr when I was drunk. And he prayed as the Imam, and so many people prayed behind him. So he went and he repeated his Fajr prayer. However, he didn't tell the people behind him to repeat their prayer. So here the ulama bring up a very important issue, which is, if the Imam breaks his wudu, or he didn't have wudu or tahara for some reason, and his prayer became invalid, does it invalidate the prayer of the people behind him? It doesn't. Because Umar, he would have told them to repeat their prayer. So if something happens to the Imam, he ends up breaking his wudu, or he didn't have wudu in the prayer, so he has to repeat his prayer, but the prayer of the people behind him remains correct and valid. This is the strongest view amongst the ulama, although there's some difference of opinion amongst the ulama. So you see how Umar, he repeated his own prayer, but did he tell everybody else to repeat their prayer? Because their prayer is independent. The prayer of the people behind the Imam is independent of the Imam leading the prayer, in terms of whether it is nullified, if the Imam's prayer is nullified or not. And the Prophet ﷺ himself, once he stood up for prayer, he said, Allahu Akbar, and then he remembered something, and he left, and he said, Makanakum, stay in your place. And then he left, and then when he came back, his hair was wet. Then he went again in front of the Sahaba, and he started praying with them. And he didn't tell them to say Allahu Akbar again. He told them to stay where you are, and he continued leading them in prayer. So he remembered to go and make ghusl, and then he came back and led them in the salah. And they didn't repeat their tasbih, which means that their prayer was still valid. It didn't become invalid because they made takbir behind Prophet Muhammad. So you see how their prayer was independent of the prayer of the one in front, the Imam. This is the strongest view amongst the ulama, that the people behind the Imam, their prayer is separate and independent of the Imam himself. So he told them to stay in their place. Also, one thing that we learn about this hadith, and the final thing, inshallah, in this hadith, is that the Prophet ﷺ, when he says, إِنَّمَا الْمَاءُ مِنَ الْمَاءُ, water is only due to the water. We cannot say that the hadith is abrogated, because we can still apply it in the circumstance of the dreams that a person has. That the water of ghusl will become due when a person has a dream and he sees the water, he has to do the ghusl. If he didn't see the water, does he have to do ghusl? There's no ghusl required. This is what the meaning of the hadith, إِنَّمَا الْمَاءُ مِنَ الْمَاءُ, is what it means. But as for having the relations with the wife, even if there's no water, then we go by the other hadith that say that if a man and the wife, they have relations, they have to perform the ghusl afterwards, even if there's no fluid that is seen. So I hope that inshallah explains this hadith for us. Inshallah ta'ala. Is there any questions for anybody? Inshallah. Makes sense, inshallah. Yes, alhamdulillah. Brothers, anybody have any questions? Inshallah. Yes, Brother Renat has a question. Yes. Okay, this is a different issue. It's not really related to whether a person has to do ghusl or not, whether it's pure or impure. And the majority of ulama say that it's pure, including Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, and others. They say that the sperm is pure in and of itself. It's not a najasa. And they give the proof that Aisha, radiallahu anha, she cleaned the Prophet's thobe with her fingernail, and it had some sperm on it, and then he went and prayed in that thobe. So if it was something impure, she would have had to wash it off, like urine. But she just scratched the traces off, and he prayed in it. But Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, he says that it's an impurity, and he has a number of proofs, including in the Quran, Allah says, mankind was created from a despised fluid. Ma'in maheen, a despised fluid. So, and then he says that Aisha, when she scratched it off, some narrations it says that she spit on it, and it says that it was wet. So they say that, some of them, they say that it's impure. But the strongest view, Allahu A'lam, is that it's pure. Allah knows best. Any other questions? Okay, inshallah. No other questions. Jazakumullahu khair. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wallahu ta'ala alam. In the name of the Messenger.